In Memoriam of Majel Barrett Roddenberry, 1932-2008. You appeared a voiceover in all Star Trek TV movie franchise offerings. You married Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry and carried on his legacy as an actor-producer. Untimely sacked from First Officer, the Enterprise, and the original pilot, The Cage, you endured to become the unquestioned empress of the Star Trek universe, where even yet you reign in our hearts. The more we learn of our universe, the more wonderful and overwhelmingly vast it seems. Our telescopes regale us with images of glittering galaxies, wild, wistful, wavering nebulae, and dark velvet gem trays of uncountable galaxies and stars. Like babies in a crib, playing with glowing objects dangling above us on a mobile, we strain to reach out to such brilliant entities. But we must realize that these lonely isles of light float upon an infinite ocean of wondrous mystery surrounded by impenetrable darkness. Join us now, if you dare, as we venture out into dark spaces.
Prime Minister Gimmon feels the date of final commissioning for the asteroid exploration habitat should be advanced. I don't wish to tell you your job, Mission Commander Mage, but can you possibly streamline your inspection work?
We're well ahead of the approved Space Dragon commissioning schedule, Prime Director Chersey. We have only a few crew quarters left to inspect before our last complete review.
A highly trained maintenance staff who can handle unforeseen minor issues will board with the space explorers, so your inspections don't need to be perfect.
As I'm sure you recall, the Prime Minister's son is part of our small team. I'm certain he's present here on her behalf to assure our maximum efficiency in completing tasks.
Still, the PM feels your team is taking too long to finish. With Clutch's presence and assistance, I know you'll do anything necessary to finish at the earliest instant, Commander Mage.
My team will competently and safely complete their work in the shortest time required, Prime Director.
There it is, then. I must sign off. In a few moments, the Prime Minister desires that all her department leaders be present as she addresses the entire Union of Western Republics. I will speak to you again before mid-cycle. Prime Director Chersey out.
Of course. Mission Commander Mage out. Are you listening, Andy?
The Prime Minister seems increasingly anxious to get the Space Dragon cleared to begin probing the outer regions of our system.
It's just, I designed the asteroid exploration habitat to be science-oriented, but the approved plans show only one small laboratory, and that next to the medical infirmary.
Maybe someone wants to maintain maximum flexibility for the exploratory crew and scientists. They may plan to modify many of the empty interior compartments after boarding. You designed Space Dragon to allow rapid reconfiguration of compartment paneling and corner supports. If that is the intent, it explains why the Primes want the explorers and their support personnel aboard STAT.
Good point, Andy. You're a clever bot, you know.
Thank you, Commander. However, I would advise you not to say that about me to our third crew member. He might collapse in hysterical laughter. I'd have to cocoon him and port him, quite unceremoniously, out of the nearest airlock.
Andy, no porting Clutch. Not behind my back, anyway. Now take him in tow and finish inspecting those crew quarters.
As you wish, Commander. Mr. Clutch, I see at last you inspected and tested the three-dimensional printers.
Oh, yep, works great. Zip the 3Ds off our list, Andro.
Andy. And the colorful mask you printed and now wear? A mythical space dragon?
You're pretty quick for a glorified mobile army knife. The mask was for the annual Veil Eve that's coming back on our world. And yeah, we're traveling on the Space Dragon asteroid habitat. So, what do you think? Will it give the little sweet seekers of righteous fright on their favorite night?
Hardly. Instead, you stare at Commander Mage through the mask as though you expect her to notice you. You appear intent on silently mocking her.
Mocking Commander Mage? How?
Perhaps by painting the traditional blue masking scarf of the blind over your dragon's eyes, just like the one Commander Mage always wears.
So obviously she can't see me or the mask.
But I can see you. And based on my vast accumulated data on such behavior, you are acting like a deviant. A juvenile one at that.
Androzerb 00014.
Andy.
Enough, Dr. Cyberpooper. You don't know the whole story.
This should be grand. Please enlighten Dr. Cyberpooper.
She's cold, Andro.
Andy.
The cold-bloodedest babe I've ever met. And yet she's beautiful and smart and so mysterious. So sensually alluring. Like the Tempter in the Origins myth.
Preposterous. For one thing, she is the wrong species, and therefore anatomically disqualified.
So certain are we? Were you there? Anyways, somehow, some way, I just have to surrender all of me to her.
The asteroid exploration habitat.
Hey, the space dragon.
Still has a tenth portion of its compartments to be certified before commissioned occupancy. The sooner that's complete, with your indispensable assistance, of course, the sooner we return for Vale Eve. Then you can get on with terrorizing the little sweets seekers.
You keep talking down to the flight commander of this little junket. Mobile army knife. Careful.
When we return home in the empty cargo cruiser, I will strain my utmost to recall that fateful bureaucratic gaffe. Until then, here are your final compartments to inspect, test, and approve.
Restrooms. I always get the restrooms.
For which you alone have the necessary skills to test and approve.
I'm so lucky.
Cheer up, Mr. Clutch. You also get the pick of the pit, your favorites, the kitchens. We depart on inspection tour in 5.
I'm blind, guys, not deaf.
Unfortunately.
And now, as we've been waiting for, Prime Minister Gimmon will address the entire Union of Western Republics.
Oh, hey, Andro.
So not worth it.
It's my mother. Listen up.
Citizens of the Union of Western Republics, I sadly report that the leaders of the Eastern Democratic Dominion continue to behave with intolerable indifference toward the international community. The neutral nations of our world, unsuccessful in persuading the Dominion to end interference in their leadership selection process, have pled for UWR protection as a last resort to preserve their sovereign rights. Today I announce our answer to them. We will defend their rights to self-governance, however we must.
My mom. If those East Keys want to tangle with her, they'll get their tails handed back to them.
It must have been challenging to be raised by such an intimidating parent.
Not at all. She wasn't around that much. But anything I needed or wanted, she made sure I got it.
Absolutely amazing. Never during all my activation have so few words explained so much.
That's right, and you can... You're on notice, bot. Later, I'm going to think very carefully through what you just said.
Excellent. You could use the exercise. Listen.
To what? What's wrong?
The asteroid exploration habitat compartments cry out, "Inspect me! Oh, inspect me!" Shall we?
So long as I can do it far, far from Androbard. I give up. What is she saying, and who to?
I think you'll find, Commander, that it is to who. Commander Mage created a shortcut language to speed up her interaction with Imp, the habitat's main computer. She calls it Minimal Interchange Digital, or MID for short.
Wicked. She did all that just since we boarded?
Yes. Otka, po, plik, 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 po. He no stop, talk, stop.
Ka, plik, 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 po. Yes. Talk. Stop.
Do you ever stop showing off?
Was I? How rude of me. It just comes so easy around here.
Dragon, blink, talk, po. Dragon say, broke, stop.
Otgatik Pol.
She's so thick. Stop.
Ot, blit, tok, tok, tok. Pol, she say. Help, help, help. Stop.
Hold up, guys.
Yes, fair one?
I think I need you.
Oh, Shrek.
This is it, Andro.
Andy.
I have to go for it. I think I need you too, Commander. If you would just, I don't know, slither over here and crush me in your coils of love, I would die happiest of all.
All airlocks free and standing by, Commander Mage.
Well, what a remarkable invitation. Hiss, man.
Hiss.
Instead, how about you fold your fangs, simmer your scales, and fantasize about keeping our suddenly floundering space dragon afloat?
Wounded. Mortally. Foundering?
Connecting. Connecting. I see the new warnings too, Commander. But we checked those systems repeatedly. They have always operated with intolerances.
Exactly. But now the power control to the magneto containment nets is suddenly wavering.
Shrek. If the containment nets fail, Space Dragon crumbles into a piece of bloated asteroid regolith rubble.
Disabling and crushing almost everything within.
There's more. Interior illumination in the forward power control sections and in the corridors just went down.
What is going on over there?
That I need to find out. Oh.
Hang on there, Commander. You look very woozy.
I don't need light to see. I have every swatch of this space mole mound burnt into memory.
Equipped properly, I don't need compartment lighting either. And I was last to check that control system. If anything's not right, I'll know instantly. Besides, I don't need the bot to tell me that the temperature is dropping rapidly and the air thinning. Spacesuits now would be
Here. Portable oxygen canisters till you suit up.
Thanks.
It seems more than a coincidence that biosupport, which you both need, is failing. Commander Mage, I recommend that Imp perform an immediate full digital system sweep of Space Dragon.
Of course. For possible sabotage. Ika ikto kishiba lukdu kishiba gik po. Done, Andy. And all the more reason Space Dragon designers should do the physical checkout. Once I suit up.
This emergency appears to fall under major systems cascade failure. As I recall, the Mission Ops Manual directs the mission commander, you, to remain in ops, and oversee repair and recovery efforts.
You actually read the Mission Operations Manual?
Finished. I'm backpacking enough portable light to flood 500 spans of the main corridor. I'm also taking extra comm units, just in case. Everything else necessary, I've loaded onto the utility roll-around for transfer to the Habitat Core mini-rail transport outside.
Good job, Flight Commander. You won't change your mind about letting me go.
Nope. One last thing, though. Andro-Serb 00014.
Yes?
You come, too.
Because?
I will need his expertise. Wow, what happened to him?
I believe something you said evoked a simple overload and abort sequence.
That sounds bad. Andy's going to be okay, right?
He's fine. Hear those random beeps? He's rebooting.
I didn't break him. Whew. Good. Then get it together, Andro, and try to keep up.
Andy!
Team to Commander. Come in.
Go ahead, team.
Andy and I found the forward magneto-powered control juncture irreparably damaged. Something or someone smashed it good and proper. However, all forward magneto rings appear to be receiving power still and holding integrity to the nets. We also temporarily patched up lighting and biosupport systems forward of the auxiliary control room.
Indicators here confirm lights, temperature, and air pressure stabilized in the compartments you checked. They remain too low to visit without a suit, however.
Good to hear, Commander.
I believe improvement in the areas we checked suggests normal conditions should return everywhere once we find and correct the main failure.
Resuming mini-rail trip. Next stop, Auxiliary Control Center. Wish us fortune, Commander. Commander, no good fortune wish for your daredevil asteroid moles?
Good fortune to us all, moles. Next contact in 10. Commander Mage out. I feel you watching me from behind. Who are you? What do you want?
Satina.
No! It can't be!
Now is why you're here, Andy. What the shrick was that?
What a dilemma. Such a dilemma.
Multiple dilemmas? This can't be good.
I genuinely cannot decide which is more circuit disrupting, that ghastly noise just now, or you calling me Andy.
You're a keep cool character, Bot, for real. You literally can joke after your capacitor's just discharged. But me, I'm just trying to remember the nearest restroom to dash to.
I joked?
Andy, look, I need to clear some stuff between us. When I was younger, imagine that, huh? I often left our government residence to go out in public. Any children I met quickly saw rich, uppity kid written all over me. They taunted me as much as they dared. Everyone around us feared my mom's temper, as well as her power to create bad, bad problems for anyone bullying her baby boy.
This is pretty heavy stuff. What made you think of it?
You, actually, Andy. When I believed I had fried your digital guts earlier, these bad memories sort of flashed before my eyes. You see, every brat masters the not-so-subtle art of taunt and bait, just to keep overbearing parents at bay sometimes. I realized earlier that I'd given T and B my all with you. Maybe because I feel... yeah, this is going way over the top. I feel inferior to you in so many ways.
Those child strangers you met chose not even to try to learn how good of a friend you might become, little toads. Yet... I am the monarch of toads.
Excuse me?
You obviously feel pain about interactions you cannot control, even with androserps. To you, I may be a bucket of bolts and nuts, but I knew that about you, Clutch. Yes, I knew that. So I played one-upwits with you. The androserp series are known perhaps best for their programmed adjust and achieve priorities when faced with obstacles. Unfortunately, being one of the original production models, I have spent much time watching and considering the unexpected effect of those priorities.
What did you learn?
All androserps over time equate achieving, or success, only with winning, regardless of the obstacle. Given your increasingly ill-mannered behavior around me, I computed that I needed to win. I, too, gave it my all with you. I squandered the precious gift of my acquired verbal mastery and wit just to try to control, and also, I suppose, to shame you. I regret very much my demeaning words and actions towards you, Flight Commander Clutch.
I hear you. I apologize for my snarky disrespect, too.
I see now how pointless it is. In truth, it always would have been much easier just to remain pleasant, even when you unconsciously tried to mess with me. Stop that, Clutch. What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to pry open your maintenance port to verify that there's only a robot inside. You suddenly don't talk much like one, and make it Clutch when it's just us, Andy. Protocol be hanged.
Done, Clutch. And done.
Confession is good for the soul, eh? I feel so much better. Now I'm not at all afraid of... very much. I just felt a hot flash go up my spine, Bot.
And what view of this obstacle shall we take, Bio?
Like facing all other obstacles, I guess? It'll be an adventure. Load and lock, Andy. Here's our stop.
I don't have time for this, stranger. Make me care, or flit out the way you flitted in.
I expected this. Make you care? I do not need to. You care about your team, so do I.
I have no reason to believe you. I don't know what you are, much less who you are. I have no notion what you want, or if you're here to disable the habitat, so I can only guess. Whatever you do want must be self-interested.
And you would be far more correct than you imagine.
We're done. Leave or be silent. That is, if your sort respects the focus needed in emergencies. Thank you. Team, come in.
We are safe here outside the auxiliary control center. Hatches are sealed, but not locked. Whatever has boarded Space Dragon is inside the center and seems on some sort of rampage.
We were deciding how to proceed, Commander. We'll contact you shortly before we act. Team out.
Exercise all personal caution till then. Return at once if you decide that's best. Commander Mage out.
Lighting in the sections they entered, and while they seem focused on disrupting the magnetos, they have not gone into the electromagnetic generation chambers nor the reactor cores to try to cripple power flow.
Light and, or radiation sensitivity, maybe? Biosupport seemed important to them, too.
Agreed. But that could be an afterthought attack on Commander Mage and you, to keep you from interfering. Yet, how very strange.
Yeah, this whole shrieking mess.
No, I mean, if they're distressed in there, the hatches are only sealed, not locked. Why don't they open them and escape? They had to open at least one hatch to get into the control center.
This is a long shot, but maybe they no longer can physically open the hatches.
Even though something is obviously terrifying them in there.
Exactly. Here's my take. We'll open this hatch and go at them with what we know and what we have. I can polarize my helmet shield to protect against an extreme light flash from my floodlight pack. That should blind and briefly disable any light-sensitive creatures.
And through the mini-rail's guide groove, I can hook myself to the power rail. From there, I can link up to the habitat's entire power reserve. I can then build up and trigger a brief, extreme electromagnetic burst.
A noble light show in an EEB. I like. But EEBs notoriously damage all nearby electronics. That includes you, Circuit Boy. I'd rather not have a near repeat today.
Shielded habitat compartments, especially the control centers, will not be harmed by a short EEB. Other critical systems will reboot if necessary in a short time. The kitchens, they must be serviced before you prepare your next batch of frozen carnivore nuggets.
No one truly weeps for nuked frozen mystery meat.
I shall not.
Then we're decided. We'll do the light flash and EEB together. Team to Commander Mage. We think a Nova Bright Light Burst and an Extreme Electromagnetic Burst, an EEB, will accomplish pest control. Andy assures me of only temporary collateral effects to Dragon. Request permission to give it a shot?
Then, give it a shot.
Acknowledged.
But use only the light flash first.
What? How would you-
Just do it.
Lights first, Andy. Then, EEB if they don't work. Are you set?
Yes. After I protect myself.
Shrick. Dude, you folded up into a shielded cylinder. That is so cool. Do it again.
Focus, Clutch. Focus.
Here.
Pest control successful, and we didn't need the Nova Light or the EEB. They were ready to scram out through the hall. Again, how did you...
Flight Commander, finish reporting.
Okay, Commander Mage.
All intruders gone for now. Andy and I got ruffled in their stampede off the space dragon, but we'll mend shortly. I can barely see the ACC interior without more illumination. Clearly damaged, though. Dial lights are dim or blinking. Some juncture sparking. Proceeding shortly to assess.
Do we know anything more about the intruders?
They resemble the wind more than anything else, Commander Mage. We seem in no further danger from them.
They're like shadows or something, Commander. I would say like ghosts, but that's nonsense. I think they can pass freely through most of Space Dragon's walls. However, after they entered the auxiliary control center, they couldn't break out.
Good to hear. Assess and report damage, stat. And team? Well done. Commander Mage out.
You urged me to use light only just in time. My thanks. Okay, let's try this. You assume that I don't believe you, while I assume, for the sake of hearing you out, that I do believe you. Now tell me important things I don't know.
We lack the luxury of time. I will tell you what helps your team survive.
Why is Space Dragon just suddenly so interesting to these others?
Commander Mage, your vessel is moving into the wrong space at the wrong time.
Oh, denying. Are the beings we just encountered dangerous still?
Perhaps, but your team gave them a proper and embarrassing tail-whipping.
That doesn't bother you?
Not at all. Those who attacked Space Dragon were warned they would fail. Ironically, your team's quick thinking likely spared the attackers permanent extinction. And despite their original intent, those saved possess very long, normally grateful memories.
Who and what are they?
First, I must tell you, Seti.
Don't. Don't call me that again.
I'm so sorry. It's just that... Have you ever heard the tale of the Veil?
If you mean the mythical thin membrane between our planet and the spirit realm where the souls of the recently dead supposedly go, then yes.
What more do you know?
On Veil Eve, again, supposedly, the spirits may choose briefly to visit our world through the Veil. They invisibly drift about, observing kin and friends and places they remember. Perhaps they even savor their favorite food or drink, which superstitious folk on our world place out to honor and to please them.
Tomorrow, Space Dragon will hurl like an explosive projectile through the heart of the Veil.
Really?
Yes, then you complete the catastrophe begun when you approach the Veil, which exists above your world's orbital plane.
How can that be? Our whole world must move through the Veil at least once each orbit.
The planets, with their highly diffused magnetic fields, merely brush against the Veil. If necessary, the Veil literally flinches back, slightly allowing any planet to pass harmlessly just beyond.
How could our scientists not detect the Veil existing nearby?
All your thinkers and reasoners and speculators might debate that question. The truth comes down to, no one looked for it. Yet we must move on to other matters. The danger to your world is greater than you imagine.
How can this myth get any more entangled?
The danger is not to your ancestors' souls. It is to your descendant souls as well.
Both? That seems impossible.
Not at all. When departed ancestral souls first arrive back within the Veil, they rejoin a welcoming community, yet also keep apart in literal soul-searching solitude. They begin a special refreshing process. It not so much involves healing, though it often can involve recovery from mental and emotional past life trauma. They experience soul reflection as well as a form of memory download and archiving that's too difficult to explain briefly. Eventually, souls become fully cleansed of their most recent past physical reality journey. When a soul reaches carte blanche, that is, blank page status, it
returns. It reincarnates in a new bio, always a sentient one?
Your intuition astonishes me, mostly, but souls are free to choose animal totems as well. There are a few living forms from the tiniest microbes to the nebular leviathans, whose perspectives do not lend uncommon wisdom.
Excuse me, nebular leviathans?
Don't fret, they're big fuzzy pink chemotrophs. They create their own food from sweeping to vast amounts of nebular hydrogen. Regardless, given the size mismatch, Space Dragon should seriously avoid tangling with them. Commander, what still troubles you?
Despite all evidence to the contrary, particularly that from my team, I must tell you, warm, cuddly, pink leviathans still strike me as the most believable part of your tale.
Team to Commander Mage.
Commander Mage, report.
The auxiliary control room took a monstrous beating. Sorry. Anyway, we've attempted to restore what functionality we can. At least biosupport seems stable throughout the Dragon for now, though, as you mentioned, still too minimal for unsuited strolls.
Biosupport report confirmed here. We will regroup and begin full restoration later. Again, good work, team. Now, how did the shadows get into the ACR but couldn't exit?
Andy has our best theory.
Commander, somehow the shadows can alter themselves to manipulate normal physical objects. They opened one of the auxiliary control center hatches, and the horde streamed through. Inside, they somehow multiplied their physical size, or strength, or both. I'm unsure. Then they initially rampaged through the control center, destroying or disabling all equipment possible, apparently through raw, poorly directed physical blows.
That triggered Space Dragon emergency protocols. Their point of entry hatch swung shut and sealed them in, as electromagnetic shielding surrounded the entire compartment.
I believe the electromagnetic energy shield activation directly caused the shadows to lose their physical abilities to bludgeon the equipment or to escape.
At that point, they panicked and became a flying, screeching mob, swirling madly around in here until accidentally freed.
However, during repairs, we discovered another serious problem.
Let's have it.
Just like the magneto control juncture that we found disabled forward, the aft backup control juncture was demolished too. However, neither of the securely sealed magneto power junctures was damaged. They're both rapidly feeding power directly from the quantum ethereum reactors in increasing amounts straight to the magnetos.
You can try to shut down power to them, Commander. We tried from here, but couldn't.
You assume correctly. I can't shut them down. And a staged shutdown of the reactor will take a very long time to perform safely. Without reserve power control junctions to effect repairs and to reduce the energy feed, all our magnetos will soon advance to constant full power.
Shrik.
It is what it is for now, team. Finish what critical repairs you can in the ACR. Then reseal and, this time, lock it. Gather your gear and return forward. We may need to leave in a hurry. Commander Mage out. Let's pick up the pace here, shall we? I'm going to bypass all my doubts. I'm going to leap 1,000 light years into the unknown and play my best hunch.
I'm listening.
You are virtually immortal proto-beings. We possibly perceive your presence as curious fluctuations of dark spectrum light. Almost anywhere. Maybe even the corner of our vision. We frown or we raise a fascinated eyebrow, then we ignore you. How am I doing?
You're certainly doing.
A natural electromagnetic force field binds each proto-being together only by the amount of light the being possesses within that field. Consciousness, personality, and memory randomly develop into a unique identity, which, for a million unknown reasons, you choose repeatedly to merge into bios for a lifespan. Maybe you do so for survival, because when beyond the veil, in your proto-being state, you are vulnerable. You become, for your kind, mortal. As my team discovered, while in your proto-being state, you can move or impact things. You merge yourselves together until you achieve enough light momentum to acquire matter manipulation ability. It has to be. But excessive merging must come at a very high cost.
Incredible insight. Yes, the more we merge, the more the souls falter toward madness. For this reason, I refuse to do such merging. As you witnessed, uncontrolled, obstructive behavior results.
Now I can easily understand how desperate your kind feels toward the Space Dragon, toward us.
Yes, I believe those rogues you chased away deliberately and recklessly pushed themselves to reach their dangerous rage. They hoped that somehow the raw, physically destructive energy amassed would serve to disable or even destroy your vessel. They likely regret now how badly their scheme backfired.
Backfired?
Yes, instead of disabling the space dragon, the uncontrolled magnetos will now simultaneously reach full power and electromagnetic radiation output. That radiation would assure the destruction of the entire Vale community, which repopulates high sentience on your planet.
Are souls reproduced in the Vale?
No. However, if virtually all souls happen to be joined with mortals at a given instant, occasionally a new soul forms. But that is an unspeakably rare miracle, one even now the Vale fails to understand.
Then how did those of the Vale begin?
Their spark was generated within the first explosive instance of universal creation. Also, after a very long time, a segmented living filament independently developed. It stretches out and twists and turns across the expanding universe. This gigantic, leafless, non-branching vine, or caterpillar, if you wish, merged its ingenious and lonely mind with us. It freely offered our unique community a pan-galactic maze for shelter.
Twisted filaments spreading randomly throughout the universe, shelter and ultimately connect all souls everywhere.
Legends say that not all souls chose to live within the Vale. But I know nothing further of that.
How does a relationship with a world like mine begin?
Very, very rarely, a vine segment drifts across a star system having worlds possessing sentient biopotential. If the filament senses that one or more of these worlds might evolve at least one high sentient proto-species, the segment ceases to wander and naturally encircles, but does not envelop the system worlds.
Like wombs. How many such worlds within our planetary system?
Only one. Yours. In due time, the cycle of soul exchange between the Vale segment and your world commences. Thereafter, so long as the living Vale filament remains undamaged and your biospecies conceives new members each generation, the cycle continues.
But without the local presence, both of potentially sentient bios and of recycling proto-soul beings.
Then higher sentience like your species cannot exist, not in such planetary systems, nor throughout this universe. And it shall always be so, a dynamic, glittering void with so few fated to observe and to wonder at it.
An unbearable silence. Like no other. Like no other.
Loaded all we brought.
Andy, will you please do the honors of locking and shielding the ACR, sir?
With pleasure, Clutch.
Well, then primary control center. Forward ho!
Ho? And a ho is?
Ask your mama, bot.
I got no mama to ask, Bio.
Not always a bad thing.
Asteroid Explorer's Habitat. Commander Mage responding.
Commander Mage, please commence emergency passenger reception protocol. We're coming, now.
Who's coming now, Prime Director?
Need to know basis, Commander Mage. Just be ready.
We're not ready, and we won't be when whoever arrives. Significant habitat systems failed since we spoke earlier.
What? How could this be? Everything was ahead of schedule.
It would take more time to explain than you seem to have to hear. For now, find somewhere safe on world or in low orbit. Contact me
when... This is Prime Minister Gimmett. You will immediately begin executing Prime Director Treacy's order. This is urgent. Tier 1 UWR officials and selected prominent social and commercial citizens are aboard jet rotorcraft racing to Alpha Launch Port. Within the hour, we will transfer to passenger space cruisers and depart for Space Dragon. Now get it done, Mage. No excuses. Do you understand? Mage, are you listening?
Do what we can. Have a nice trip.
Commander Mage. Out.
We hope you enjoyed Odyssey Audio Works' production of Fermi's Lament, Part 1. It featured the acting and technical talents of Tanya Milojevich, Josh Price, David Ault, Jenna Dupre, Amy Price, and Deborah Adams. Music composition and performance by Kevin MacLeod, Paolo Calazzi, and Roman Main. Ambiances by permission of Jamie Nord from his Ambiance Collection on Bandcamp.com and from the YouTube Ambiance Collections of Hardwired Ghost and ASMR Geek. Sound effects self-created or courtesy of these Freesound FX designers: Andreas, Amicasis, Audio Naughton, Kubodoop, Engreitz, and Dude Awesome. Fermi's Lament script is copyright 2022-2024 Richard Summers. Production and performance is copyright 2022-2024 Richard Summers. All rights reserved. Fermi's Lament audio is released under Creative Commons CC by ND licensing, granting permission to reproduce and redistribute with by accreditation, but no derivation. Odyssey Audio Works recruits the talents of visually impaired persons for all aspects of its productions. If you are visually impaired or you know someone who is, and you would like to know more about how to participate in writing, acting, or generally creating modern independent audio drama, please contact Richard Summers at richardsummersva, that's richardsummersva, no spaces, at gmail.com. For more on Odyssey Audio Works productions, please log on to our website at odysseyaudioworks.com. That's odysseyaudioworks.com. This is your announcer, Richard Summers, bidding you farewell for now, until once more our imaginations transport us out into dark spaces.